Coombe Ray, your host of the One Soccer Nation podcast. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Colin McComb. Colin is the founder at Pathfinder FC. Colin, thank you so much for taking the time today. How are you doing?
Great, Takrim. It's been a good but busy day so far. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. So, you know, one of my favorite questions to ask my guest is, you know, like, what was your first experience in the beautiful game? Like, could you just take us back in time?
Sure. I mean, I started as a youth player locally, just playing in rec leagues in the 70s. Here in the United States, it was a very different landscape then. 5, 6 years old, I remember playing. We played 11v11 with a size 5 ball. So that's a bunch of little mites running around like bees chasing the ball, swarming the ball. Now with build out lines and small sided 77s, 99s, it's a much different learning experience for young players. But I started there, came all the way through high school, and then got into running. And went to college on a track and cross country scholarship, but then came back to soccer as my kids started to get involved with youth sports, and got into volunteer coaching and helping again. And from there, I started playing men's league games and things. So you know, got back into the sport later in life as well.
Amazing. I feel like, you know, I just thought about this when you were, you know, you were sharing your story, was that like everyone that I asked that question to, which is like 100 plus people, it's kind of like, you know, once you get that taste of soccer, it's like, it's in the DNA, it's there forever.
Yeah. I think what's really interesting about the sport too, is even when I was a young boy playing, like I had a Jamaican coach. We're close to IBM's headquarters here where I am in New York, and you know, I had French players and European, you know, other European players, Canadian players, you know, all these families that would, you know, sort of come through the area, and it was a very diverse game then. But then as I played older, then I would meet all these guys that were brought together from the sport as well. So yeah, it's an interesting sport, and once you get involved with it, it's like music. It just kind of transcends everything. So yeah, the soccer folks in your community will certainly understand that, I think.
Sure. I mean, you know, it's the beautiful game. It brings people together. It makes people speak one language. For the viewers and the listeners, what is Pathfinder FC?
Sure. So Pathfinder is a passion project of mine. Started, as I said, volunteering, coaching, and got involved with our local like youth town club. You know, got it as a travel director. And what I learned over time was that you know, especially in the United States, this is going back 15 years or so. There's not clear pathways for kids, you know, that say, hey, I want to play professionally. I want to take my game to the next level. And these could be young kids, 10, 11 years old, right? And what I was hearing was parents and mentors of the kids saying, no, that's not what you want to do. You want to focus on this path or that path. And I just thought that wasn't a good message to a young person that, you know, had dreams and wanted to pursue those dreams. I thought the message should be, well, let's explore what it takes, right? And as I got into that, I found that, you know, there's multiple things in the US market, you know, that we're making slow changes to, but there was multiple barriers to actually pursuing that dream. And so that evolved in this passion project that I have, which is called Pathfinder, which is helping develop players and find clear opportunities for them, whether it's collegiate or professional, right? And I think those aren't mutually exclusive pathways, but those are sort of the end destinations for the serious player that wants to take their level to the highest level, wants to take their game to the highest level, they're shooting for, you know, one of those two pathways, right? It's not about being able to, you know, Pathfinder is not here to guarantee those destinations, right? It's to educate and provide the opportunity. You know, really the ability to achieve it is up to the player. You know, it also really resides heavily on who's recruiting and what they see and what they want.
Yeah, 100%. I love the work that you guys are doing because, and even the name Pathfinder, finding those paths, there's so many paths in life. The reason why I love what you guys are doing is because not every soccer club or academy is providing that opportunity for a path. And, you know, it may be grassroots, it may just be local opportunities and getting you to college or university, but you guys have a mix of everything in it. And it gives a player many opportunities, whether it's school, pro, and I think millions of players really just want to go pro, but you know, the reality is it's really hard to do so. But again, just really love the work that you guys are doing. What really inspired you to create Pathfinder?
You know, I had kids in our program. One of them was my son, who was very passionate about the game and wanted to keep progressing and take his game to the next level. And as we got to a certain point, you know, sort of getting into school ball, the arena of school ball, it became clear that if we go this path, then likely this is going to be, you know, sort of the end of the full potential if you're seeking a professional pathway. And it's at the same moment, you know, that 14, 15 years old, that in the rest of the world, they really double down and say, okay, now it's time to enter an academy. Now it's time to, you know, start being groomed on this professional pathway that we insert. Now it's time for a 3-month season, and multiple sports, and this whole social environment of high school, which is fine. You know, we just thought at Pathfinder, it shouldn't be binary. Hey, you can either choose MLS next, wherever that center may be, that happens to be about 2 hours away for us. Or you can choose high school ball. Those are your two choices, and they're mutually exclusive. You can't do both. It just occurred to us that, hey, there should be another alternative, and certainly we can do something locally in our own region because there's enough quality players and enough means of having a level of competition to put that together. I had families in our club, and even myself were considering, hey, let's make a move 2 hours away into Manhattan or into Long Island just to be closer to other opportunities. You know, it's sort of like, do I really want to disrupt my family that much to this opportunity? Which led to, well, if I'm going to consider moving to Manhattan, why not look at opportunities in Spain, in Europe? Because it's even more of an open market. That was the exploratory process that really kicked off, you know, what we ultimately researched and began to develop. And again, all just kind of on the side and driven by passionate people and partners that I had in that. And the core was finding opportunities for players.
100%. I mean, when you mention Spain and providing players an opportunity to go to Spain or players from Europe to come to the US, that's huge. I know for me, I really appreciate that because as a player growing up in Canada, I was born in 2000, so currently 24. When I was 16, 18, there was no professional league to look up to in Canada. So it's kind of like I was already looking outside, like, okay, England, France. Those are countries that I can go to outside of my backyard to go pro, and you know that costs money for plane tickets, you know, housing, food, transportation. It's a lot. And you know, at that 16, 18, you know, unless you're working, you'll definitely need to get that support from the family. You know, and it's hard. It's definitely really hard. So I think to have that opportunity that you guys would create something in US or players in New York where you guys are located and do something in Spain and connected to it really takes a lot of the weight off the shoulder and makes it very clear, hey, this is something that we put together and this is an option that you could take, you know, and it's I know I said this already, but something I really appreciate and something that we're working towards here at One Soccer Nation too. So what would you say? Do you, I'm kind of putting you in the middle here. I really want you to pick a side, but do you prefer the Spain side or the American side?
That's an interesting question. So let me step back and just explain a little bit of what you, when you touched on the education pieces that we have. I think it's important, especially with FIFA's guidelines for player safety, and youth safety. The key to what we do is our educational platform, right? So here in New York, we have a college preparatory, it is middle school through high school. We have a program here. Any players that are coming to us internationally are coming to go to that school, and they can't be here unless they're doing well and succeeding in that school. Likewise, in Spain, we have a couple of different programs for younger players, minors. It's an international baccalaureate degree that they get, which is equivalent to like an AP degree. Actually, Canadians have the bachillerato as well, right? So it's like year 11 and 12 in high school, in American high school. So our minor players that are moving back and forth are going for school, but then they have a valid reason for being in the market, and we can register them with the federation. Even when they're like, sometimes there's glitches to that, and it takes some time. So what we've put in place is, you know, playing in tournaments, playing in friendly matches. In Spain, we'll get this year we're going to have 4 matches against professional sides as friendly matches. But those are the two environments we have. And then for postgraduates or folks out of college, they can pursue getting a UEFA coach's license, so they can actually go to Spain, play for our senior team, and be pursuing a UEFA C course and get their C license over 10 months in Spain. Here in the United States, I also have a junior college, a JUCO, where the player can come, go get that associate's degree, and while they're getting that associate's degree, can be playing in our senior team. So they can look for opportunities to go to the next NCAA level, maybe get scouted into that. But while they're doing that, they don't have to play JUCO ball. They can play senior soccer for 10 months in a, I'll say, a professional environment. They're not professional players, right? But a professional environment of playing. So those are the environments that we've set up here. Now, which do I prefer? In Spain, what's intriguing there is, you had somebody on your podcast a little while ago that talked about soccer in the United States being a hand-me-up sport. I don't know if you remember that. It was
Oh,
one
Darren Van
of,
Tassel, yes.
yeah. And I loved it. He said, here, you're intro you go out in the backyard with your dad, your grandfather, and you throw a baseball and you're shooting hoops. That's just part of our culture, right? Maybe in Canada you're playing a little hockey, pond hockey, or whatever. But there it's all football, right? It's all, soccer. And so here it's handed up by the youth, right? And they're like, that's a cool sport, and it's handed up. I had the same experience with futsal. It was handed up to me, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wow, this is an amazing sport, right? Where there it's a hand-me-down sport, as we're familiar with baseball, football, hockey, American football. That's a really cool environment, right? So to take a player here, and you talk about your experience, who struggles to find that, how do I find my way? And when they get in market in Europe, it's like, this is heaven for me. Everybody's speaking my language. Everybody's interested in what I'm doing, and really the sports economy of everything that's going on over there, sort of revolves around football. Likewise, there's unlimited market potential. You can literally throw a stone and hit multiple professional clubs, really right on top of each other. Even the amateur clubs or the lower level clubs are scouting everything just to understand, as they go through player transfer windows, where can I acquire a player that's going to take me to the next level? Because it's an open free market. There's no barrier to moving from the fourth division to the third division, and those types of things. It's just, do I have the right personnel to take me there? So any advantage that can be gained, you can grab and get it. And every game, I don't care how small, it's like scouted in some way. People are talking about the games in the community and everything like that. There's a new player in town. What's happening with this, right? And it's like wildfire gets out amongst the community. It is not like here, like College Showcase, where there's coaches in uniforms with clipboards, watching, and coaches are handing them a player roster sheet. No, it'll be some old guy that you don't even think is, you just think he's just an old guy watching a game, and he's having conversations with other people, and it's really this dialogue about, what's happening in the sport. Very community oriented. So that's an amazing experience. Juxtapose that to, our senior teams playing here in New York, and I think that we have two UPSL teams. UPSL League is run very well here in the Northeast, and we have a USL two team that's also well organized. But in all cases, it's very rarely scouted. Right, it's opportunistically scouted when compared to the European market. So our whole reason for going into Spain was to create this pyramid of the pathway of, here's an open market, right? Here's a way to bring your goods to market. I guess to pull up probably a bad analogy, would be to say, if you had a small trinket or some kind of product, some widget that you wanted to sell, and your options were, well, I can put a farm stand on the road on the corner, or I can put it on Amazon, right? Which is going to give you more market exposure? That European market is tremendous market exposure. I think it's coming here in the US. I think there's a logarithmic trajectory to the experience here in the US. It's been there for 50 years in Europe.
Yeah, I mean it's growing. There's so many questions that are popping up. One of them was wanted to ask you about, do you think the call, I mean I'm going to get it out there. I'll ask you a 2-in-1. So actually let me take my time. I'm learning to slow down a bit. I'm too much energy. So the first one I'll ask you is, the soccer culture is not there yet in America. Do you think the 2026 World Cup will bring culture to the US and stay?
I think it's here, right? I think there's certainly pockets. We have, even in this, our focus at Pathfinder has been player development, Right. So we focused on the player and the player's professional environment for development, and then the ends, which is the opportunity, professional opportunities in Spain, collegiate opportunities here. There's a club just down the road from us, Kingston Stockade, and they focused on community, right? And they've built an amazing brand and have just this amazing community of fans and supporters, and they're popping smoke and playing drums and flags. They have close to 2,000 supporters at games. It's really nice, right? So I think there's pockets of rabid soccer supporters here in the United States. What I don't like to see that you won't see in Europe is like the soccer family experience. Like, hey, let's go to the stadium and have a hot dog, right? Like, that's not the fan experience in Europe at all, right? But that's a very American sports fan experience, right? So I think the World Cup will hopefully continue to grow those fans and exposure to the sport. I'm a little bummed that it's so spread out. I think that's the last World Cup it was just amazing that the games were all in that same proximity, and you didn't think about what time the game was on. It was just sort of there. And the players weren't traveling as much. I think that's going to be kind of strange. Like, but I think the impact to North America, right? I'm old enough to know when the last time it came through. And I remember then, I marching with Irish fans in the street in our little city. So I'm pretty excited to see what it's gonna be like. I have some hesitations and like, how's that gonna all work? But I think it's gonna raise the level. It's not gonna hurt it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this. This is going to be my first World Cup to see in world in person. Hopefully it's a game, but definitely the atmosphere, the streets, see what's going on there. We definitely got to capture some content then. I got a game plan for that one. But hopefully we're in the stadium somehow, some way. Let's fingers crossed. I have an investor question for any investors listening. You guys are both in you guys are in the US in New York. You guys are in Spain. Aside from the US, you guys started off in America first, right? And then we spoke about this offline, but speaking about it now online on the record, could you just share with us like what went into selecting Spain? Like why Spain? Why not England? Why not France? Why not anywhere else around the world?
We looked at markets around the world, and we considered all markets, including the United States, right? So, number one thing was the barrier of entry. How much investment will it take to just start, right? Second was the cost. The in-market cost of things, right? So United States is a pretty expensive cost of living, compared to other places in the world. Infrastructure for the sport was another major factor, right? Like, so you can find pretty low cost of operations in Africa and South America, but the infrastructure is a little shaky in different spots. So and then like even in Europe, you can go to like there's local laws and rules. Like in the Netherlands, it's a very closed market focused on developing players from the Netherlands that are natural born there. And that's a whole thing. Like if you're in the Netherlands and operating a club, if you're going to hire a player from outside the Netherlands, I think the minimum salary is like 200,000 euros. Like so they're incentive, whereas there's a different minimum salary for a player from the Netherlands. So they're incenting it, you have to have local players, right? Players from our country. Spain, the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal, low cost of entry, very, very low cost to operate things. Things are generally inexpensive, super, super solid infrastructure for the sport. In the eighth division of Spain, in our region, so like think of it as our state or our province, there's like 20 tables of 20 teams in each table at our level, right? The first team in each table promotes. And then there's a playoff for the next 20 teams to promote, and that's just in one region. And then there's I think six regions in Spain, right? So there's this enormous infrastructure of teams at our level. There's no game that's more than 25, 30 minutes away by bus. So then Spain versus Portugal, England again is high cost of living. You have the language, which is nice, but Spain versus Portugal, Spanish language is a little more accessible for us than Portuguese, and that's where we chose to be.
Nice. Yeah. No, that's good context. I mean, so just coming back to America real quick. You guys are in the USL2 and the UPSL. I thought about it on the spot. I'm assuming it's because one season's shorter than the other. But yeah, what's the
Yeah, so our goal was to find a competition format that would allow our players to play for, I'll say, the entire playable season in the Northeast, which is really March until early December. Okay. USL2 provides that just during the summer. There's a couple other just summer leagues that provide that. Obviously the USL formats at the higher level provide that, but the barrier of entry is really high in terms of franchise fee and operating costs, and becomes a professional environment, which then limits our ability to work with the schools, like we talked about earlier. UPSL had a format where really they play a spring and a fall season, but there's only like 3 weeks off in the summer in July. So you could look at it as one season from March until mid-November, and it's a nice format. And I've got a particularly dense area in New York, between Philadelphia, Manhattan, Jersey, Boston. There's a lot of teams, so it's a nice environment. It's interesting. USL, it's sort of a dead zone. Here with all that that ability kind of speaks to that barrier of entry, right? Because there's certainly talent and certainly players and teams here.
100%. I mean, I thought it was pretty cool that you guys were in USL2 and UPSL. I kind of wanted to ask like a question about like which league do you prefer, but I'm gonna stay away from that one. I'll stay away from that
You
one.
know, I could touch on it. I won't say that the prefer USL definitely they have a very, very good structure, and this is sort of center of gravity. It's well organized. UPSL, our structure is also solidly governed. What's interesting to me, the discussion that's interesting to me, which is an issue for US soccer, is how can you have overlapping branded leagues that play at the same division? Right? So I look at that as an owner. I have players that are registered in both, and they can be registered in both. And now I can share players between teams and just sort of have this pool of players and say, oh, I've got some injuries here. I'm going to pull some players over. I'll dual register them. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but when you think about it, US soccer gets paid twice for the registrations. The insurance companies get paid twice for the registrations. There is no next level, right? So once we're, fine, we go to playoffs in USL2 or we go to playoffs in UPSL, but then it's like, hurrah, you won playoffs. Good job. Go back to the beginning, right? And likewise, if we tank, we're at the bottom, but okay, see you next year, right? So I think that's the real question, Kareem, is how do we figure out this structure so that it's one fourth division, one third division, one second division, that it's really clear what's happened, the way that you move up and down, and sure, maybe we have to do things to protect people's investments, but at the same time, I want to invest small and grow. I don't want to have to, get venture capital in interest in order to enter the market.
Got it. I mean, this is a bit off topic, but I'll connect it. I mean, when you think about the Canadian market, we have about like a few big banks. They control and run everything. But when you look at America, you got the big banks, and then you got, a lot of small banks, and you got like 50 plus, a lot. In Canada, there's like a handful, two handfuls. So the opportunity in the US is much greater, a little bit of the wild, wild west. When you mentioned when you were talking about all the different leagues. So like it's kind of like a fun question, but I'm interested to know your thoughts. You've been around the game. You've seen a lot, the World Cup and all that. Do you see it? Do you see US soccer becoming more tight and becoming more one? Or
Yeah, I mean that certainly, right? There's more opportunity now than there was. There's more structure than there was. There's more investment than there was, right? So that's all positive momentum. The things that, this is just like coffee talk, right? The things that scare me, and I think about as an entrepreneur is it seems like our focus is on territories rather than inventory. And what I mean by that is, in the rest of the world, they look at when they value a club, they look at the brand, they look at your facility assets that you own, the land that you own, the physical assets, and they look at your player pool, your inventory as saleable products. If you were to liquidate your club, you'd sell these players and you'd make money out of that. So it's a real asset. Here we've gotten into this franchise model, which the asset is the territory, and I think the player's lost in that, right? And just being true to Pathfinder's name, it's always been about the player. And I think what the U.S. market really like to really take it, we've got to be true to the player. U.S. soccer has to be true to the player, and it can't just be about MLS, right? Like so. Clubs need to be able to protect themselves by having an interest in the player, and that player then that it takes away a bit of the wild, wild west. Like, oh, I'm not getting playing time here, so I'm going to leave my USL2 team and go next door to a UPSL team that can register me, right? And now the investment that I made to house that player and get him here from Arkansas and everything like that, I just lost that whole investment because that player could just decide to move, right? That doesn't happen anywhere else in the world, and it happens all the way down to our youth system, right? Little Jimmy's not getting enough playing time, or I don't like little Jimmy's coach, and so I'm going to move him. Rest of the world, that move can only happen if you're going to a lower team or a higher team. We don't even track what levels our teams are in the US in the youth system.
It's lots of work still to do.
There's a lot of work to do. I mean, it's good, positive work, right? And we're on a logarithmic trajectory. I think we're making good progress, but There's a lot of work to do.
100%. What would you say is like the biggest challenge that Pathfinder has come across?
Finding consistent competition levels for our players for the year round. Because what I again think about our origins was for that 15, 16-year-old, right? The good 15, 16-year-olds should not be playing against just all the other good 15, 16-year-olds. Those players need to get exposure to two, three levels of the game above them. And it starts to become about maturity of thought. As much as physical play, right? So you're a player, right? So you would understand that, if you're just the best 15-year-old and you're playing against 15-year-olds, you're only going to get so far. It's like there's a ton of testosterone in that game, right? So it's just like completely physical and flying. Whereas you take that top level 15-year-old and you throw him on a under 23, right? He's gonna be like, whoa, I got a completely different view of what I've got to do in the game. And then you take out the ability to, hey, I can sub every time I make a mistake, my coach will pull me out and give me some sides. No, if I come out of the game, I'm on the bench and I'm done, right? And when I go in and get my 10 minutes, I've got to try to make an impact, right? Or if I'm in for the entire time, I've got to pace myself and think about how I'm going to play. It's a different mentality, and I think that's what our players that are of high school age are missing in their development as senior players, right? Because they go into the high school environment, they go into then the college environment, and it is sub 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 short smashed seasons. Anyway, that's been our challenge, because we when we got into USL, it was around USL Academy, and USL Academy original, when like its first year, it was, we're going to be an alternative to like MLS Next, in having a season for those aged players that goes, straight through and has a spring, a summer, and a fall season. So it's an alternative to playing in school ball. And it's great. You want to play in school ball, that's great. Go for it. But for the players that want that next level development, they need something else. And finding that consistent competition platform is the biggest challenge.
100%. Well, Colin, this was great. I definitely do want to give a shout out to you guys. We have an exciting announcement coming out soon that we're going to put out together. But before we announce that, let's save it. But I do want players that watch this, where can they get connected with Pathfinders?
Yeah, so it's PathfinderFC.com. Just PathfinderFC.com. And on there's a link to be able to inquire about a trial or more information. Schedule a meeting with us. That's the best way to get a hold of us. Or Facebook, we're at PathfinderFC. Instagram, I think again at PathfinderFC. Any of those, DM us, message us, and we'll get back to you.
100%. I mean, players as well, guys. You guys could also reach out to me. We have an ex One Soccer Nation has an exciting partnership announcement with Pathfinders, so we could also help facilitate that with you guys. And Colin, again, really love the work that you're doing. One Soccer Nation, we're excited to be helping assist players to provide them a pathway. And again, guys, we'll come out with the announcement soon. But with saying that, soccer in America, it's growing. 2026 World Cup coming up. Canada, US, Mexico. Let's go.
All right. Thanks, Kareem.
Colin, thank you so much for being on the One Soccer Nation podcast.
Thanks for having me.